Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 142 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make that theater happen. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to the podcast from the Apple Podcast app or from iTunes. That way your feed will be automatically updated when we release podcasts. You can also listen to us on many other streaming services such as Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, all kinds. Please rate and review it, that is our podcast, if you have a spare 30 seconds, and help us reach more theater lovers out there around the globe. We're in the middle of posting episodes of our Come From Away podcast, Welcome to the Rock, so make sure you go back and listen to them on this feed if you haven't yet. It's a great series, and we are super, super proud of it. But today is another episode, the first of the year, of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast. I have known this week's guest for a long time. And I've had the pleasure of directing her in a sketch comedy pilot where I can guarantee that I ruined many a take by laughing behind the camera. Roz Blessed has been treading the boards around the country for a couple of decades. She won't mind me saying that. Following in her parents' footsteps, she's recently stepped into the shoes of the playwright, but has brought along her parents, that's her dad, Brian Blessed, as executive producer, and her mom, Hildegard Neal, as a fellow cast member. The Delights of Dogs and the Problems of People and Lullabies for the Lost will be performed in rep. So there's two plays that she's written that are going to be in rep, and they're going to be throughout January at the Old Red Lion Theater. Now, the fantastic director Zoe Ford Burnett is taking the reins of the production, and she is always brilliant. And so it promises to be nights of soul searching and much, much laughter. You will cry, but you will also have a good laugh. Now, I sat down with Roz at Above the Arts Cabaret Club to talk to her about her two plays, talk to her about mental health, and our love of dogs. I mean, what else can I say? And boy, do we love our dogs. Here's our chat. Roz Blessed.
Hello.
Listen, let's just do a, you know, full disclosure. We've known each other for quite some time.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. But this is, you know, I guess we follow each other's careers almost by far. The great thing about Facebook and social media and all that stuff, we know what each other's doing.
Yes.
The bad thing about Facebook and social media is that we kind of feel that we know what you're doing.
That it's covered.
We go, congratulations, well done. So,
exactly.
You know, if I've been shit and not going to see you in things, you know.
Well,
let's just
right
air
back
it out
at
now,
you,
you know. So, but let's talk about, like, we're talking today because you have two new plays coming out, or is it one play?
Well,
that's a series of plays, like, because it's, I know there's two titles.
There are two titles.
So
one which is lengthy.
Yes.
Which was a good idea until I realized how many times I'd have to write it down, and now I deeply regret
and get it in italics, you know, because we're used to it.
Yes. Well, the lengthier titled play, The Delights of Dogs, which we are familiar with. So I shouldn't split it up. The Delights of Dogs and the Problems of People is the full title on that one. Now, that one has had some evolution over the years, though this is a brand new production of it with a new director, new set design. The only things that remain the same are the cast, yeah. which is myself.
You and your mama?
And no, this is Duncan Wilkins. In this instance. The second one is Lullabies for the Lost.
Right.
Which does have my mama in it.
Yes, okay, all right.
Yes, so the... They are different plays, but complementary.
Okay.
They both deal with challenging subject matter mm-hmm. and go into the dark places. But
well, great. Shouldn't theatre do that?
Well, happy like, to say you know, so. I mean, doesn't have to.
It doesn't have to. But
it's
good.
Compulsory, yeah. But I tend to feel it's good to get into the juice of life.
Yeah.
And they're also. Sort of comedies as well, so I don't know. I look at them as comedies, and people tell me they're harrowing. So I guess you know, make a choice.
Yes. Well, that's great, though.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I'd far rather kind of go into a theater piece and go, well, that's made me think, than come out going, eh.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, yeah. I hope so.
Listen, take me back. What made you? I've known you as you know an actor, and
yes,
you know,
indeed.
I actually got to direct you once.
You know, did
which
get
is,
to direct
well,
me.
A few days, but once. but you know, what made you go? Well, God, that what a stupid
start,
question.
Start,
you know,
start
what
start
was
writing.
The compulsion?
Yeah,
you know,
well,
what was the compulsion?
I think. To throw back to when I was. A foolish youth at university. I was very foolish. Part of our course was to write a 5-minute play, and I did, and it was awful. I mean, honestly, it was just. I think I was trying to be the new Beckett, but you know, but extra political as well, and
right.
all the poetry in there. So basically, every line was trying to do about 10 things. It was absolutely unactable. It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. So I just went, well, you know, I can't write. So enough. We'll put that on the back burner.
Right.
And then, funnily enough, the thing that you got to direct me in started work. Taking part in sketch shows and then occasionally starting to throw in a sketch of my own and realising I really quite enjoyed writing. But obviously these were, you know...
Yeah.
It was a silliness.
I loved silliness.
oh, gosh, yes. I'm all for silliness. And also I think what happened at the same time is I got older.
Yeah.
One does. You know, that happens and you know, life experience comes and you suddenly... have something to write about, and I think that was the thing. So once I'd tried out the writing with the sketch shows and realised that you know I could reach an audience that way, then I wanted to do something of my own and write something that I found was important to me. So that's when I started to write plays. But I think that you know starting in sketch comedy was helpful to bring that humour in because I never wanted to lecture in my shows, but even though the subject matter is hefty, if you don't have the comedy in there, I think you can run the risk of being quite preachy.
Yeah.
Or I would switch off.
Yeah, we'll get mired down.
If you're just bombarded over. Though some people do that brilliantly.
Yeah.
I, however, can't.
Yeah.
I need to.
Well, but that's what you know. I mean, obviously, you're a funny, funny, funny person, you know, and I've, you know, in performing as well, like, you have one of the best poker faces in the business. Like, you literally say the most absurd things with a straight face. It's brilliant. But, I mean, so you write, you know, what you know, bring that experience into it. I mean, would you say that? For people that haven't done the writing, like just to be able to have done an exercise of write a 5-minute play, just to have done it, going, you know what, I'm going to get this out, even though it's crap, I'm just going to put something down, and then I've broken that, you know, wall down, that little tiny, or taken a few bricks out of the wall.
I think it's brilliant, I have to say. It doesn't, you don't have to stick it on a stage if you don't feel you want to, or that you're ready. What I found on The Delight of Dogs and the Problems of People, which was the first one, which evolved over several years, but it's about my experiences, though it's an amalgamation and with fiction in there as well, but my experiences of being in abusive relationships, of which I have had more than one,
right,
in different ways, this concentrates more on the psychological side. It's mm-hmm. it's not very violent. But I never forgave myself for continuing to find myself in the same patterns, and I was thinking, you know, what was wrong with me? I must be weak, yeah. I must be wrong, there must be something amiss there. And having written it down, and then sort of studied it, then as an actor study it mm. again, it sort of puts it at two removes, and you can look at things much more objectively, and it enabled me to forgive myself for a lot of the stuff that I'd done over yeah. the years. I've always found it easier to forgive partners mm. and see their point of view and see where they come from.
Yeah.
But I had found it very difficult to forgive myself.
Mm.
Just segueing off here a bit, that's also okay. something I wanted to put into The Delights of Dogs. It's not about a monster and a victim. Mm. It's about how easily life can take the wrong turn. We're fragile emotionally and mentally, and
sure.
it's very easy for quite nice people to end up quagmired in something really very wrong and
of course.
Dark.
Well, it's we fight and strive for the easiest way out of something, and if it means people pleasing to make sure that your day gets over quicker, or you
sure.
know that it stops a fight quicker, and nature abhors a void. Like, if there's a void of any emotion, we will fill it.
Mm.
We will, like, as human beings, go, well, I'll throw extra emotion into it for you that you don't have any. Let me throw some in there for you.
Yeah.
And then it's freaking exhausting,
yes.
you know? And but I think that's, you found a way to channel it, like, which I completely admire, Roz. I think that it's amazing, because it's also, you know, with you, you know, reading what we got through about the plays, and, you know, Little Vice for Lost and Problems with People, you know, The Delight yeah. of Dogs, Problems. It's kind of go, yeah, okay, you know, everyone's touched by mental illness in some
sure.
way or the other. Everyone is.
Mm.
So it takes real courage to kind of, you know, to get through that. And, you know, I would say courage is not the absence of fear. It's, you know, the embracing of faith, that you have something that people need to hear and you go with it. You know, you've done this, but
mm.
what was the impetus to kind of get it out there? Like, so you've
well,
done it.
Well, I found having put on, just for small invited audience, that it touched people and they were inclined to then tell me their stories afterwards. I remember with Delight of Dogs, this woman coming up to me in tears afterwards, and saying you've opened a door that I had shut for 25 years.
Amazing.
And I think that is the point. And not just people who had found themselves in the more of the, well, for want of a better word, victim role, but also people who said, I was abusive. I mm. see it now. I and thank you for not making us out to be some sort of evil.
Mm.
When I realized it was making a difference to people, when they were opening up about things, starting to reevaluate what had happened to them and feel better and less alone, I was like, ah, now I think I have a responsibility to get this right, and I think I have a responsibility to get this out to more people, because if it's helping, what do we want to do?
Yeah.
That's the point,
yeah.
isn't it? I mean, that's totally the point. And it was the same with Lullabies for the Lost. I was... Ooh, what can I write about now? What else do I know about? Ooh, mental health. Ooh, I've got a bundle in my bag for that. I've had it all, babes. I've done them all. So, you
yeah.
know, and I can't be the... And it transpires, very much not the only one.
Mm.
And within Lullabies for the Lost, there's more. In Delight of Dogs, there's two characters. In
yeah.
Lullabies for the Lost, there's actually 9, but 8... people who are telling their struggles.
Oh, wow.
So
but there's only 2 of you in it, right?
No, in Lullabies for
yeah.
Lost, there's a cast of 9.
Okay, got you. All right. Okay.
A wonderful cast of 9. Wonderful. I love you all. You're absolutely brilliant. So that's looking at looking at different things. So we get through it a ton there.
Wow.
So We have social anxiety, which I think almost everyone can relate to a certain extent. If there is nothing else in the play, you'll understand what it is to be facing having to go out tonight and just desperately not being able to really, really, and what can I say and what can I do and what can have happened this time? And then there's obviously looking at depression, so self-harm. There's a couple of people with eating disorders of different kinds. I'll come back to that. And most of these, some panic attacks. Most of these are based on things that I have personally experienced, which sounds like a lot. You know, how do you get out the front door? But do you know what? They come in a bundle. They do tend to. Yeah. If you get one, you tend to get the others.
They're magnets. They tend to. Yeah.
But two of them really were not my stories, for a change. And one was a story that a close friend told me about when she miscarried and her experience of that, and how, for a start, we just still not, that one doesn't get talked about a great deal.
Yeah.
And I feel like it should. And it's also, was at the time almost brushed under the carpet, saying, it's very common.
It happens all the time, yeah.
Well, it doesn't happen all the time.
I know, but that's what they say. Exactly, yeah.
You know, that's one I wanted to study. So there's a beautiful character there who, the miscarriage was a catalyst for her keeping things, and things become precious and they shouldn't be throwaway, and so she ends up as a hoarder with a house full of stuff, even though she is herself very successful, out at work. But in her own home, she's surrounded by things. She doesn't want to give anything away. And the other story, which I had to tell. I ran into a friend of mine from school, and I remember whispers in the schoolyard about this girl having anorexia. Right. And I was like, oh no, you guys are just chatting because you're men.
Yeah.
It transpired she did have a problem from quite a young age, and was still, and she's my age now, I'm now 44. 44 years old. I don't care. And she had suffered with anorexia the whole time, and had been sectioned over and over, and same cycle of going into this ward, there not being any therapy. It's money, I believe this is money.
Yeah.
And it just eating to get out again and starting the cycle over and over and over. And the story that she told me about the conditions in this eating disorder unit, it blew my mind.
Oh,
it
really
sounded like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, plus, in a haunted forest 100 years ago. I mean, and it's not. It's right on the doorstep, and it's now. So one of the stories is just a day in the life there. And it pretty much speaks for itself. I said to her, "Do you mind if I tell this story?" Yeah. She was like, "Please,
oh wow,
please do." Yeah. So we sat like we are now.
Yeah,
got my little microphone out, and she just told me.
Yeah,
what went on?
How wonderfully cathartic though to be able to do this for your friends. It's not why you're doing it, but you're doing it because you need to tell a story. You know, the support that you've had in getting it on stage as well has been pretty good. Is your dad exec producing or something like that?
Mom
is in one of the plays,
and
so your friends have helped you out with the stories. I mean, this is an incredible amount of support.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we know what it takes to put on a production.
It's no joke.
It's no joke. It's horrible. Why anybody would want to do this, you know, but we need to do this, obviously. So, just tell me a little bit about the support, Roz.
It was really wonderful. My parents have always been very supportive of my writing, but it's always been just my thing. It's been something that I had separate, and especially with my dad's Brian Blessed, if anyone hasn't clinked that. So Brian Blessed, big oh yes, you can tell we're both very loud.
I've been in a voiceover booth with your dad. My ears are still ringing. Mm.
But I'd always artistically put a distance between me and my father because I just wanted to, you know, prove that my own person. Yeah, and I know the second you do something with your family, nepotism gets bandied around, and I know that I'm inviting some criticism here by bringing my father on board. But I just thought, you know, once again, I'm 44 years old, and I care less. I just do. Yeah. I care less. But I mean, what, let people say what they want.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. What does my pride matter compared to, I know it'll help me reach more people. More people will see it. More people will feel better. So sod it.
Yeah.
So sod it. Bring it on board. My dad came to watch one of the very first workings of Lullabies for the Lost, which is the mental health play. And he, I don't know, it just got him. We have his mother, without going into too much detail, has suffered really terrible things.
Okay.
So, and which he witnessed in his life. So he's familiar with the issues of mental health.
Yeah.
And he himself, as a young man, went through a breakdown.
Yeah.
He knows what it's like to really struggle.
Yeah.
And you know, I wouldn't say he was the sanest man on the planet anyway. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. But he's a wonderful man.
Yes.
Wonderful, inventive man. And he just wanted to, he wanted to help. He wanted to get involved. He actually wanted to direct it. And I went,
too close. Too close. No.
Oh, so I already had a wonderful director, and I.
But how fantastic, though.
I mean, it's like, been wonderful. You know. So he's wanted to get involved. He's been terribly supportive. He came to all the previews. Yeah. He gets involved. He's loves my cast. He's been poaching my cast for his own productions.
Nice.
Though we'll have to say I poached one of his.
Good, good. Well, there you go.
So it's been really wonderful to have him aboard, and genuinely, you know, to have someone deeply interested in what you're doing. I mean, we want that as a child.
Of course,
it's so
gratifying. I think, like, anyone that cries nepotism or cries is just who hasn't relied on their family in a time of need, whether it be in work or life or whatever. But if you have the opportunity for someone to help you out, and they just happen to be, you know, your dad can open doors or not. You know, your mom could open doors or not. You can open doors or not. Like, it just depends on what you're looking for. I think I would love for the opportunity to act with my brother, you know, to sing with my dad, you know.
Yes.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Exactly, and life is short and it goes by.
Of course.
I now take this opportunity. If I want to work with my parents, why wouldn't I look back and regret it if I didn't?
Exactly.
Speaking of which, so my mother is. I wanted in the previews with Lullabies for the Lost, I felt like I left things on a very negative note. I was saying, well, there are these dark places and there are these dark challenges, but I wasn't really offering any solutions. So I was just saying, people, I'm like, and there you go. Good night. Have a lovely Christmas. So I wanted to bring, because I myself have improved vastly with the problems that I have, and I know that it is possible. So I wanted to have a voice of reason in there, and voice of hope. Who better than my mother? Who better than my mother, indeed? She's the most superb actress. I can't even begin to tell you. So having her on board to speak, speaking words of wisdom, as they say, is an absolute honor. So,
I think it's brilliant. So tell me where, when, what, you know, where can we see it? And
well, it is going to be on at the Old Red Lion Theatre, Islington.
Great theatre people.
So they are lovely, and they're so supportive and really properly interested in the arts and helping people. They're so supportive. Couldn't be more on board, which I love. So, and then it's the plays are running in rep, sort of nightly rep, and from the 7th of January to the 1st of February. There we are. So on a Saturday, amazing, they'll be both. So if you want to come along on a Saturday, you can see them both.
Nice.
Otherwise, they're on. You can catch them on alternate nights.
Excellent.
Okay. Now, I don't think we can possibly finish this without talking about the dog element.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, I think we should end this podcast talking about dogs. We love our doggies.
We love our doggies.
I recently... less than 3 years ago got my first dog that I had since I was 17, so it's been 30 years. I'm 47. I spent 30 years plus without a dog, having grown up with a dog and never not having a dog. My first memories of my first dog that I can remember, just wanting to cut a whiskey and lovely. I had a dog called Sandy that we're a military family, so we couldn't take our dog overseas. We couldn't take the dog, so we took Sandy away to get put down.
Oh, no, obviously not.
And she broke out and ran. She found her way back to us. A month later, we heard scratching at the door, and it was our dog. My dad said, "Well, we can't.
Not, that's it.
You know." So we love our doggies.
Yeah.
I know how much you love doggies, so let's talk about the doggy element.
Well, the truth of it is the whole thing, Delights of Dogs and Problems of People, started from the genesis of an idea for just a short piece of this woman eulogizing by a small grave, just breaking down and giving the most beautiful speech about this creature that had died, which you assume initially is maybe her child.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell's happened here? And then you realize that she's talking about her dog. Ugh. And that was how this all started. But then what the dogs became in both the pieces is the support. When you are suffering, when you are so depressed you can't get out of bed or do anything, your dog will get you out of bed. Your dog will get you out of bed because, A, you have to. You have to look after that dog. You have to get up. You have to walk it. You have to feed it.
Yeah.
Because they need you. And the payoff is when you cry, or even when I have a Staffy who is what I call him. He's the empath.
Yes, the they empath. Are.
And I swear he can smell it. I think they probably can
smell. Yeah,
they can. They can smell it. So if I'm down, he will find me. He will come and he will spoon me until I just can't not feel better.
Yeah.
So in the Delights of Dogs and the Problems of People, the title comes from the difference between the pure, uncomplicated, supportive love that you get from a dog who will... Every morning I get up, he sings a song and tap dances because he's so excited that I'm awake and alive again. And then the difficult paths we can take ourselves down with other human beings, and just the contrast of that. And in Lullabies for the Lost, alongside my mother's voice of reason, there is also a character that manages to pull themselves out of their personal hell by adopting a dog, a Staffy again, because I am flying the flag for those guys.
Yeah, I love Staffies.
And he brings himself out of his needs by looking after this dog, and this dog taking him out and showing him, taking his energy outwards rather than forever spiraling inwards. There you go.
Roz. Thing is, I know that I'll weep like a beaten child when I come to see these plays, I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'm well done, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. And guys, go and see Roz, because she's incredible. I know you're an incredible actor. I cannot wait to see how incredible you are at playwriting as well.
So lovely to see you.
Roz Blessed, actor and playwright. And I will give you details on how and where to see her at the end of the podcast. But before I go, a few housekeeping notes. If you are a theater professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Curtain Call. That's Curtain Call on one word. And you can follow me at John Schwab, J-O-H-N-S-C-H-W-A-B. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or you can write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Roz Blessed. You can catch The Delights of Dogs and the Problems of People, as well as Lullabies for the Lost, at the Old Red Lion Theater in Islington until the 1st of February. The plays run in rep every other night, but you can catch both on a Saturday. Thanks for listening to the Curtain Call Theater Podcast. Remember to catch our series Welcome to the Rock, which you can also find on this feed, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.